This unit of Talk to the World is concerned with interpersonal communication, that is, communication between people. Communication in business dialogue can generally be seen as a process in three stages. 1. Communicating your ideas to your partner or partners in conversation. 2. Understanding the ideas of your partner or partners in conversation. 3. Building new ideas together. In part 1, three dialogues revolving around the growth of an English manufacturing company were given to demonstrate the art of successful business conversations. Now, in part 2, we will examine those dialogues to see how effective conversations are conducted. Conversation 1. The first of the three conversations in part 1 was concerned with decision-making. Frank needed to make a decision whether to accept the takeover bid offered by McPherson, and he got Carol to help him with this decision. The decision was made in four stages. Stage 1. Outlining the decision. Frank explained the general nature of the takeover bid to Carol. Stage 2. Considering relevant information. Carol supplied Frank with up-to-date information on the company's sales performance. Stage 3. Considering the available decision options. Frank and Carol had two options to consider. Option 1 was to accept the takeover. They discussed the benefits of this option, that is, access to markets in Eastern Europe. Option 2 was to reject the takeover. They discussed the feasibility of this option, that is, whether the company could get the financial resources to survive without a takeover. Stage 4. Choosing the best option. They chose the first option. Frank began by explaining the nature of the takeover bid to Carol.
The remaining stock is pretty well scattered around, so McPherson would most likely have to go for a tender offer in order to buy up enough shares to get control.
You mean they'd have to make a public announcement of their bid?
That's it, exactly. And that's just what they want to avoid. You see, McPherson want to interfere as little as possible with the perceived autonomy of Noble Waters. They've been steadily building up their market share in the US over the past 10 years. They're not yet on a scale with the big pharma giants over there. But in their chosen field, middle-price cosmetics, they have a 15% market share. However, McPherson haven't yet broken into Europe in a big way. And that's where we come in.
I see. They want to jockey our product onto the European market together with their own, and by doing so, corner a bigger slice of the market straight off.
That's the idea.
Scattered around
means randomly dispersed.
A bid
is a statement of what one will give in exchange for something else.
To interfere
means to get involved in the concerns of others.
The perceived autonomy of Noble Waters
means the way Noble Waters is seen to be independent.
Steadily
means gradually.
To jockey a product
means to steer a product into an advantageous position in the market. Exchanging information. The conversation extract above is an example of an information exchange. Frank is explaining the nature of the McPherson takeover bid to Carol. A great many errors made in business can be traced to a failure of communication rather than to a lack of skills or ability. This is ironic in an age when electronic communications media are becoming ever more sophisticated. Yet perhaps this is the key to the problem. All too often, we expect people to receive information in the same way as a computer. When we feed information into a computer, or when information is passed from one computer to another along a network, the transmission and reception of this information occurs according to fixed rules, that is, the computer program and system software. Transmission of information from one human mind to another is, by contrast, a far more complicated and subtle procedure. There are no standard rules, either for transmission or reception. Each person does both differently. How is one, then, to impart or receive information effectively? The secret is remarkably obvious. One must take a human approach. The following are a number of important tips for those giving information. 1. Involve the listener in what you are saying. The best way of knowing whether your listener has understood what you have said is to invite feedback from him or her. At intervals, you might ask your listener questions such as, "Do you understand?" or "Do you follow me?" Make these questions real and not just rhetorical. This means pausing after the question. Often, you do not even need to ask your listener questions in order to get feedback. Often, it is enough simply to pause in your speech to allow the listener a chance to speak. In the extract you heard, Frank pauses, thus allowing Carol to comment and expand on what he said. In this way, Carol clarifies in her own mind what Frank has said, and also lets him know that she has understood. 2. Take your time in saying what you have to say. If you approach your listener with the attitude, "I've got no time to explain things or repeat myself, so you'd better listen carefully," then the chances are greater that he or she will misunderstand what you say. If you have to tell somebody something, then take the time to tell it to them properly. If you do this, you will avoid errors and misunderstandings, and therefore save time in the long run. 3. Never take for granted that your listener can follow your train of thought. Practice explaining things step by step. Do not jump over a step because it seems simple. This confuses not only your listener, but also yourself. Speak slowly, allowing yourself sufficient time to phrase your thoughts, and your listener enough time to understand them. 4. Observe your listener for signs that they are confused or don't understand. Do not always wait for your listener to ask a question or say they don't understand. Watch their faces for signs of confusion or incomprehension. React patiently to these signals when you see them. If your listener senses that you are irritated by questions and interruption, then they will most likely pretend to understand when in fact they don't. 5. Avoid opinions. If the purpose of the conversation is to exchange information, then avoid giving an opinion. Likewise, encourage your listener to understand, but not to express their opinion on the information given. The following are a number of guidelines for those receiving information. 1. Ask questions as soon as you don't understand. There is no point in waiting until the speaker has finished speaking. By then, he or she may have moved on to another point, and you may no longer be sure of what you wanted to say either. However, if you are one of many listeners, it may be necessary to note down your questions and ask the speaker after he or she has finished speaking. 2. Relax. Be yourself. If you feel nervous or intimidated, do not try to cover this up by playing the role of fascinated listener. Feigned interest or attentiveness will become apparent to your speaker sooner or later. Relax and concentrate on what the speaker is saying, not on making a good impression. By understanding the information and applying it correctly, you will make the best possible impression. 3. Make eye contact with the speaker. Eye contact plays a big role in interpersonal communication. When a person is speaking to you, they will usually seek eye contact. By looking directly at them, eye to eye, you are giving a signal that you are receptive to what they are saying. If you avoid eye contact, you may give the opposite message. 4. Repeat rather than ask. If you are unsure about something the speaker has said, try repeating in your own words what they have said, instead of asking them to explain further. You might begin by saying, "If I understand you correctly," or, "So, do you mean that?" The advantage of this approach is that it allows you to clarify in your own mind what you have heard, and it also gives the speaker a chance to see how well you've understood. If you have understood correctly, the speaker will feel encouraged. If you haven't, then at least the speaker knows what you don't understand and can explain this point again. Always avoid asking the speaker to repeat themselves. This gives the impression that you haven't been listening. The art of listening. That brings us on to one of the most important points in conducting effective business conversations: developing the ability to listen. There is a world of difference between hearing and listening. Hearing is a biological function. Our ears pick up the sounds around us. Listening is a psychological function. We process in our minds that which we have heard. When we listen, we give our full attention to something. We bring all our powers of reasoning and judgment to bear on it. Most of us are better speakers than listeners. Yet the ability to listen is crucial to one's success in business. The following are a number of tips for better listening. Listen not only for what a person is saying, but also for how they are saying it. Listen for feeling as well as content. Therefore, observe while you listen. Listen with an open mind. Concentrate on hearing what the person has to say, not on hearing what you want to hear. Make an effort to rid yourself of prejudices and ill feelings towards a person before entering dialogue with them. Prejudice is usually an expression of fear. One of the first exercises in becoming a better listener is to avoid speaking on impulse. As the saying goes, talk not because you have to say something, but because you have something to say. Very often, our listening is interrupted because something our conversation partner says provokes an idea in us. When this happens, avoid interrupting or impatiently waiting for the first opportunity to present your new idea. There is little danger that you will forget your idea if you don't utter it immediately. Wait. Listen to your partner, and when he or she is finished speaking, then put forward your idea. By now, you are probably in a position to present your idea more soberly and objectively. Don't feel you have to express every idea as soon as it comes into your head. An important part of being a good listener is respecting people, recognizing that everybody has something valuable to say. People are aware of this and will respond to genuine listening by returning the respect. One cannot gain the trust and respect of other people unless one listens to them. Conversation 2. The second conversation was concerned with problem solving. The problem involved production deadlines. The sales department received a large order for goods that were not yet in full production. The production manager made it clear that it would not be possible to produce the goods within the specified period of 1 month. In this conversation, the problem is dealt with in 4 stages. Stage 1. Defining the problem. Frank invited information from Sue on production progress and from Carol on the nature of the deal being offered by Schroeder's. He then examined with them the production and supply implications of each of the clauses in Schroeder's offer. Stage 2. Considering possible solutions. Carroll proposed delaying production on present orders to allow for a switch over to production of the new range. Frank was reluctant to follow this option. Sue made the point that it would be unwise to rush initial production of the new range. Stage 3. Making compromises. Almost all problem solving involves compromises. Frank suggests giving Schroeder's a larger discount in return for an extension of the delivery deadline by 1 month. Sue and Carol agree to switch half of present production to the new range. As a way of winning more time, Sue suggests making the delivery to Schroeder's in 2 consignments. Stage 4. Implementing the solution. Frank will contact Noble Waters' agent in Germany to see if he can speed up the advertising design work. Carol will fax Schroeder's immediately, offering them the new terms. Sue will consult lab and union personnel on the question of speeding up the production schedule. What remains to be done after the 4th stage is to follow the solution through. This means checking that the solution was implemented as planned and whether it brought the desired results. The following is an extract from the problem-solving conversation between Frank, Carol, and Sue. The important point to note is how well Frank coordinates the roles of his 2 department managers.
The discount they're asking for is 30% below our standard wholesale rate. A first consignment of 50,000 units must be dispatched within 1 month of signing the contract. This, as well as all subsequent deliveries, is governed by a penalty clause.
OK. Let's first deal with the issue of the discount. If we sell at 30% below standard wholesale price, how much of a margin does that leave us above production costs, Sue?
Considering that initial production costs will be especially high, what with the cost of new equipment and training, I very much suspect that a 30% discount would leave us selling well below cost.
Let me remind you that by selling through pharmacies, we have to reckon with considerably lower wholesale prices anyway.
Why is that?
Pharmacies demand a much higher markup than other retailers, such as department stores or drug stores, simply because their shelf space is a lot more limited. All in all, considering the benefits Schroeder's are offering us, a discount of 30% is not bad at all.
You're right, Carol. I remember discussing this point before. Now, what concerns me most about this deal is not the discount, but the 1 month production deadline. Is it feasible, Sue?
With present production resources, absolutely not.
A discount
means a reduction from the regular price of goods.
A consignment
means the goods to be delivered.
To dispatch
means to send off goods.
All subsequent deliveries
means all deliveries after this time.
A penalty clause
means the condition in a supply contract which punishes the supplier unless they deliver the goods by a specified date.
The margin
is the room for profit between the cost of producing a product and its sale price.
Initial costs
are the costs at the beginning.
To reckon with
means to take into account, to expect.
The markup
is the difference between the price a retailer pays for a product and the price they sell it for. The markup is the retailer's cut.
A deadline
means an agreed date or time by which something must be done.
Feasible
means possible. In the conversation extract you just heard, Frank McCarthy acts as a balance between Carol and Sue, between the sales department and the production department. Each of them has a different agenda to follow. Carol's agenda is to win and satisfy a valuable customer. Sue's agenda is to see that the production of the new range of products goes smoothly and according to plan. As managing director, it is Frank's responsibility to consider the interest of the company as a whole. Let us now look at how one fulfills the role of coordinator in business conversations. 1. Balancing opinions. Stand back from the argument and assess each speaker's point objectively. In conversations involving several speakers, people tend to become defensive and forget that there are always many more alternatives beyond their own opinion. A coordinator is then needed to balance each person's point of view with an alternative point of view. The best way to do this is to focus on something valuable a person has said, while showing that there are valuable alternatives too. The alternative idea may be one of your own, or may have come from another speaker. The following phrases and sentence constructions are useful. I see what you mean, but let's not forget that. What you say is very true. However, we have to consider the alternatives. On the one hand, on the other hand. While I agree with you that, I think Jane's point is also valid. That's a very good point, Colin. I'd like to hear what you think, Sam. 2. Pointing out consequences. As coordinator, you must consider all the consequences of each person's suggestion. The person who came up with the suggestion may be too excited with his or her new idea, and the others too busy presenting their own ideas to do this. The following phrases and sentence constructions are useful. Let's consider the consequences of what you're saying. If we do that, we'll have to. If we do that, we may need to. If we did that, we could. 3. Inspiring new ideas. Look to find agreement with what a person is saying. Focus on the points you can agree with and invite them to develop these. Very often, once a person receives encouragement for one creative idea, they lose their fear and release a wealth of other good ideas. Don't point out what you find wrong with their suggestions. This will only discourage them from speaking their mind. 4. Motivating people. Avoid letting one person become isolated in the conversation. In the second conversation on part 1, Carol is more forceful in speaking than Sue. Frank counters this by inviting opinions from Sue. If someone comes up with an important idea or announces an achievement, let them know how pleased you are about this. Frank praises Carol for her achievement in negotiating the deal with Schroeder's. When you oppose or criticize a person, make sure it is only their idea that you oppose. Make it clear to them that you have no animosity towards them as a person. Emphasize the team factor. Use words like we and us. Involve all team members in the solution to a problem. Use self-delegation. If everyone is clear about where the problem lies and a solution has been decided on together, then people will know what they have to do. Once an effective solution was found, both Carol and Sue were clear on what their tasks were. When you consult with people, then really consult. Do not ask someone their opinion unless you are prepared to consider what they have to say. Encourage subordinates to communicate freely with each other, not always through you. Conversation 3. The third conversation contained on part 1 had a creative goal. Otto Schultz from the German advertising agency Creative Communication visited Birmingham to make a presentation to Noble Waters. Over lunch at a local restaurant, Frank and Otto talked about the advertising for the new product range, Eternal Springs. Their conversation is an excellent example of how ideas are created and developed in a dialogue between two people. A vital element in such discussions is the art of persuasion. If you have an idea and you want creative input on this idea from another person, then they must first share your basic understanding of the relevant issues. Therefore, you must first persuade them to see your point of view. In the conversation between Frank and Otto, Otto presents his ideas for the advertising strategy to Frank. Frank cannot accept Otto's ideas because he has a different understanding of the basic issue, the marketability of the product. Otto then notices that this is the issue preventing them from reaching agreement. He gives Frank his opinion on how the new products should be positioned in the market. Once Frank understands and accepts this, he is able to understand and contribute to Otto's ideas on advertising. Therefore, we see that persuasion is not about breaking down the ideas of your conversation partner by sheer force. Rather, you must identify the basic issue that prevents your partner from accepting your ideas. Then, concentrate on persuading your partner to accept your opinion of the basic issue. If he does, then he will most likely accept your other ideas. To illustrate how this process works, let us look at a breakdown of the conversation between Frank and Otto.
I believe there's plenty of room on the German, indeed on the whole European market, for a product line like Eternal Springs.
Good. How would you describe the cosmetics market in Germany?
I believe the potential for cosmetic sales in Germany is a lot greater than most realize. Large sections of the market remain relatively unexploited. For example, the youth sector.
Why do you think that is?
Traditionally, 20 to 30-year-olds have not been big consumers of cosmetics in Germany. I believe this situation could be changed with effective advertising.
Yes, but what makes you think the young people want to spend their money on cosmetics rather than on clothing or leisure, for example?
I don't understand why no one has thought of marketing cosmetics at youth in a similar way to the top clothing and leisure products.
Well, that's not really a task for us. We can't very well advertise Eternal Springs in the manner of Levi's or Coca-Cola, can we?
Frank cannot accept Otto's ideas because he has a different attitude to the basic issue, the product.
I don't think you need to limit yourselves to an older market segment just because you're selling a health product.
But however, by going after the youth market, there's always that danger, isn't there, that one's product acquires an exclusively youth-oriented image. What's more, I mean, the youth market is extremely fickle. There's no guarantee, even if we managed to establish a positive brand image, that it would hold. I'd rather develop a campaign that's not aimed at any one age group.
Exactly. And not only that, but also one that's not specific to sex or income group either.
Come on, Otto. This isn't a soft drink we're selling.
This is the basic issue. The product.
Why do you have to target it at specific market groups?
Otto challenges Frank's attitude to the basic issue, the product.
Because cosmetic marketing is all about image. Well, another thing to remember is that cosmetic consumption is traditionally limited to certain market groups anyway.
Frank defends his approach to the product.
Cosmetic consumption, yes, but not the consumption of health products. That's what gives you a lot more freedom with this range of products than you had with the old range. Your USP, the unique selling proposition of your product, is that it combines a luxury perfume with a medically tested and approved skincare treatment. Without the medical element, your product is seen as an expensive luxury item. The market for such goods is relatively narrow. And without the cosmetic element, your product is a skin medication, something people would only think of using if they have skin problems. However, you combine the two elements and you have a product which is both practical and glamorous, both a necessity and luxury. If the consumer becomes aware of Eternal Springs in these terms, then I believe there's nothing to prevent it achieving mass appeal.
Otto outlines his approach to the product.
That's very interesting.
Frank shows he is willing to accept Otto's approach. Once Otto and Frank agreed on the main issue, their conversation could follow a common agenda and produce creative results.
Entire
means complete or full.
The potential for cosmetic sales
means the chance or opportunity for cosmetic sales.
To target
means to aim at.
In the manner of
means in the same way as.
To limit
means to restrict or to confine.
A market segment
means a part or a section of the market.
To acquire
means to get or to receive.
Furthermore
means also, in addition.
Fickle
means inconstant, liable to change.
To some extent
means to some degree, somewhat.
Consumption
means the act of consuming goods.
Unique selling proposition, USP,
means the special characteristics of a product which makes it different from other products on the market.
Small talk. Small talk forms an important part of practically all business encounters. It serves three principal functions. 1. Small talk at the start of an important business conversation helps to break down tension and ease nerves. 2. Small talk, particularly in a social setting, in a restaurant or on a golf course, for example, allows you to read your conversation partner more accurately. When people are conducting business, they tend to play familiar roles without giving away much about their real personalities. In more casual social circumstances, people tend to let their guard down, and it is possible to learn more about them. The ability to read people is one of the most valuable skills a business person can have. 3. Business relationships depend primarily on business conditions. However, all too often it is the personal touch that swings a business deal. It is for this reason that successful companies are willing to spend a lot of money on client entertainment. The following are a number of pointers and guidelines for managing small talk. Be positive in what you say. With small talk, what you talk about doesn't matter, but how you talk about it certainly does. Especially, don't risk saying something negative or derogatory for the sake of a laugh. Listen to your conversation partner and observe how he or she speaks. Small talk at the start of a business conversation is a good opportunity to familiarize yourself with your partner's manner and way of speaking. Observe your partner for hidden between-the-lines information, but do so in an easy and friendly way, not aggressively. Also, don't let your partner know what you have observed. This destroys your advantage and puts him or her on the defensive. Maintain relaxed eye contact with your conversation partner. Give both yourself and your partner plenty of time to speak. Practice the art of speaking in a calm and unrushed manner. This has a relaxing effect both on your partner and on yourself. Think before you speak, even if this means a few moments of silence. Avoid asking a lot of questions, especially if you're not very familiar with your partner. Offer information freely about yourself without waiting to be asked a question. This helps put your partner at ease about any questions you might ask him or her. As a point of behavior in business conversations generally, act rather than react. This means, before you react to something someone has said, step back for a moment in your mind and check if your reaction is in fact an overreaction. Be clear of your goals in the conversation. If what you are about to say doesn't further those goals, then don't say it. Once again, don't worry about silent pauses before you speak. The silence can be to your advantage. Most importantly, and this applies to all types of business conversation, be relaxed and be yourself. You have now reached the end of this unit of Talk to the World. Remember that the teaching concept of Talk to the World is based on practice and repetition. Therefore, if there was a lot you didn't understand, don't worry. Just return to part one and listen again.